And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. That's going to be very important to understand next week, that phrase there, and also after that. Because that means something there, amen? And it'll make more sense to you next week when we study the giants. He goes on to say that, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Understand that? That justness there. And perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now here is the second portion of why God destroyed the earth, the second example of why God destroyed the earth and every living thing on the earth. The reason he destroyed them was because violence had filled the earth. It says here that all flesh had corrupted itself, but also that violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So the earth was destroyed. God made a covenant with Noah. We read this earlier. I'll not continue to read that. But we read earlier that God obviously told Noah to build the ark and that he was going to preserve life through him. He was going to call animals to him after their kind, and those things needed to be done specifically. Remember, according to the directions of God, everything that he had to do, God was very specific what he told Noah, very specific what he told him to do and how he told him to build the ark, and everything was, and the animals that he was to gather and how he was to gather them and the numbers in which he was to gather them. All it was very, very precise what God had told him to do. And so we understood from the first message that we talked about, we looked at the other aspects of the days of Noah. We talked about how all flesh had corrupted itself, how the beast had to die, how the hybridization of beasts and man was being done, and they were messing with the gene pools, and they were just all kinds of crazy genetic testing. We talked about how obviously today they are doing those tests today, where you've got pigs' hearts with human blood flowing through it. You've got all of these other animals and mixtures of animals and humans. They're taking live DNA and live life, and they're putting it in, mixing it in with inanimate life, and they're trying to make something and create something out of that. And I mean, they're constantly looking for that God particle, like Brother Russ talked about, and everything else. All of these things that they're doing, they're doing for a purpose, and that is to pervert, that is to cause disaster. Now, these scientists and others are probably just tools in a game that they don't even know what they're doing. They don't know what they're messing with. So when I say that, I'm not saying that all these guys have perfect knowledge and they know that they're being led by demonic forces to do these things. Now, if you would ask me if high-level government intelligence understands that they're doing that, then I would tell you absolutely 100% they know what they're dealing with. They know exactly what they're doing. But lower level people that work in labs, but they don't know. They don't have a clue what's going on. Some of these scientists don't have a clue what's going on. They don't know. They're just being used. They're being paid to do a job. They just think they're helping somebody out. Maybe we're going to find a cure for something. That's really what they think they're doing. I don't believe that all of their intentions are bad. Okay? It is wrong. But I don't believe they understand the extent of it, of what's going on and how they're being used. I don't believe they understand that. Low-level people. Now, higher level, yeah, they know exactly what's going on. They know what they're doing. They know who they're being funded by, and they know exactly what's that? They have a goal. Yes, they have a goal. And that, remember, that perfection of the gene pool is a goal, too, as well. And we're not going to get into that a lot tonight, but that's, or this afternoon, but that's exactly what they're trying to do, too, on another front, besides hybridization. They're trying to create that perfect gene, that perfect, person out of messing with the gene pool. You see that they're saying that they can detect whether somebody has this disease or that disease, or they can help designer fit your child or whatever that you're going to have. You know what I'm talking about? All this stuff that they're doing right now with DNA and all these other things. And let me tell you one of the sinful things of DNA. Now, I want you to hear me out of all this forensic testing and all these other things. Sometimes it's done for good and sometimes it's done for bad. But let me just say this also, that the Bible is very clear that no one was to be put to death unless there was two witnesses. Do you remember that, what the Bible says about that? So we have today where people are being put to death or put on death row even for DNA being found or samples of their of things being found near them or something like that. And they're saying, well, then this is the case, that we've forensic tested this. It must be them. They're guilty. Here it is. And they're putting people to death for that. Now, I realize that people have been let go for that, too. But the point is this, is that without two witnesses, you should never put someone to death. The Bible is very clear, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And the Bible is very clear on the death penalty. Now, that doesn't mean if somebody attacks you and they die, that's a different story. We're talking about witnesses to a crime or something like that. That's a side note. But all of this DNA testing and all these things that they're doing, it amounts to a lot of evil is what it amounts to. And the bulk of science that is done today is done with evil intentions from a higher level, I believe. Because the things that they're doing now, it's just plain wicked. It's just absolutely wicked, and it's the sign of the times. It's the wickedness of this world. If you remember right, what God said, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. And he also says in verse number 5, go back to verse number 5, right after the giants in the earth in those days and the sons of God that came in with the daughters of men and bare them children, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. So God looked down from above, looked down upon this earth, and said that the height of wickedness had come. It was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, I don't think we're there yet. Do you understand that? I don't think we're in those days of Noah yet. Because what does he say here? He says, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We're not quite there yet. But I believe when this Bible says every, it means every. Amen? And it said that just completely, now we understand the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But what he is saying here is that God looked down and said, man, they're just all wicked. Everything's wicked. Every thought is wicked. Every imagination is wicked. Everything that they've imagined to do, they are doing. Everything. That's what was going on. That the wicked imaginations of a man's heart were being manifested on the earth. It was that bad. Now, I believe it's because they had help. They had demonic help to do that. So they not only had the wickedness in their heart, but they had the demonic help to fulfill it. And they were doing it. And that's exactly what God had destroyed them for. I like this quote. What an awful character does God give to the inhabitants of the antediluvian world? They were flesh, he said, wholly sensual, the desires of the mind overwhelmed and lost in the desires of the flesh, their souls no longer discerning their higher destiny, but ever minding earthly things, so that they were sensualized, brutalized, and became flesh, incarnated so as not to retain God in their knowledge, and they lived seeking their portion this life. They were in a state of wickedness. All was corrupt within, and all unrighteous without. Neither the science nor practice of religion existed. Piety was gone and every form of sound words had disappeared. This wickedness was great. They were all fleshly driven, for he is flesh, she said, for they are flesh. All of it was driven by the flesh. All of what they had done in the times of the days of Noah was fleshly driven. Didn't matter what was right or wrong. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Just like in the Judges when he talks about that, when the judge would die and every man would do what was right in his own eyes. In the days of Noah, they would do what was right in their own eyes. Right or wrong didn't matter then. There was no principle of God. And what are we heading for? Where the Bible is no longer the authority. Where whatever you want to do is fine. It's all relative. Do what thou wilt. Do whatever you want. That's the Aleister Crowley Satanistic mantra. Do whatever thou wilt. Whatever you want to do, just go ahead and do it. It doesn't matter. Just do whatever you want to do. And that's today. That's today in the day in which we live. It's do whatever you want to do. Don't worry about the consequences. And what are we doing? Well, they're passing laws to where those that want to live right are going to be punished for it, and those that want to live wrong are going to be able to exercise that. And that's the way it's headed right now. That's exactly what's going on in our country, in our world. But these days remind us of Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 1. And I believe this is talking about this. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 23. Because I believe this is what was going on in the days of Noah. Because I'll give you a reference for that in the diluvian world there. Antediluvian world, excuse me. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now remember, do you remember what we talked about, the hybridization? Do you remember what we talked about, how they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is God blessed forever? Remember that? That is what they did. That's what they turned the image of God into these four-footed beasts and these creatures and everything. That was who their God was. That's who they went a-whoring after and serving. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So that sexual, the fornication, and also the sodomy and the bestiality. All of those things happening around that time, the height of wickedness, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. When Brother Russ was talking about geocentricity and heliocentricity and things like that, in some of those, they concentrate more on the creation or the creature than they do the Creator. They look to the creature for the answer, and they don't look to the Creator for the answer. That's the real problem. That's what they were doing. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto which is against nature. When the women turn, society is really, really off. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Yeah, I know, most sane men can't understand that. But we're living in those times now where that sodomy and that bestiality and those things. Listen, do you think it's going to end with sodomite marriage? Do you really think so? Next, it'll be a man says, "Well, I want to marry my cow," and they're trying to push legislation now, silently trying to push it to get rights for these hybrids. So what's next? Bestiality. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. What did they just say? He said man was wicked. He said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There was nothing about God. They wanted nothing to do with him. What did he say? He said, and even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Think about it. Inventors of evil things. Anybody take a look at some of the weapons that are being invented now? Some of the technology that's out, some of the germ warfare, and some of that warfare that's going on. Brother Russell's what I'm talking about. Let me ask you something. Do you think this stuff is an accident? Or do you think it's planned? The stuff that Hitler did to the Jews and the things that he accomplished over there, and all the mixtures of things that he did and the genetic testings he did and everything that he did, where do you think he got most of that from? Where do you think we got most of it from? This was going on in the days of Noah. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. Look at this next one. Covenant breakers. Means nothing. Just means nothing. Without natural affection. Bestiality is not natural affection. Homosexuality is not natural affection. Incest is not natural affection. Right? None of those things are natural affection. Well, by the way, the whole vampire scene and all of the Twilight and all of those other things that are the mixture, like Brother Russ said, that's that hybrid mixture. That's that mixture of darkness and light. Do you think that's an accident? And by the way, do you think that vampires aren't real? You think that can't be done? You don't think there's mixtures of things like that? You don't think there's anything like that? Well, I hate to bring you some weird news, but let me tell you this. If you study the queens and the kings of this earth, you will find out that most of them drank human blood. But I want you to study that yourself. You go ahead and look it up. But that's exactly the things that they did. Why? Cannibalistic. See, I don't want to hear that. I'm sorry, I'm just telling you the truth. Cannibalistic, that's what they were. Things that happen. Sounds crazy, I know. No crazier than somebody like Kim Kardashian going in and having a blood face makeover done. With blood. To make the face more youthful. Blood. Human blood, yes. Same thing the queens did. I would tell you more, but there's children here, and I don't want to scare anybody further, so we won't talk about it. But it was worse than that. There's been worse than that done. Anyway, why am I talking about this? Because so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Just like it was then, it'll be again. And we're heading for it now. And you know what? I'd love to be able to just stick my head in the sand and forget that any of this stuff happens and never talk about it, never preach about it. Because, you know, it's not always easy to talk about these things. Because the first thing you think about is, man, people are just going to hate this. They're just going to get angry and upset about it. Or it's going to bother them. But you know what? If it's truth, then we reveal the truth and we don't hide it. We don't keep it back. Now, there's a tasteful way to do it, and you can be careful and cautious with it. But the truth has to be known. If it was something of an explicit nature, then obviously I wouldn't bring it to a mixed assembly, but this isn't the case. But it says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. He said that every imagination of their heart was only evil continually. Everything was evil. Folks, that was a time of unnatural affection. Nothing was normal. And what? Well, a lot of it was prompted by the fallen angels. They were prompting and pushing and perverting. And they were following it. And people were given over to that. Given over to those wicked times. But have you ever seen it so in our history that now we see this rise of this homosexual movement and this rise of everything, this, you know, whatever it is, bestiality, whatever it is, all of these things are rising. It's like evil is rising before our eyes. We're watching it rise before our eyes and seeing the destruction that is coming. I mean, just the amount of, just, I have seen things this last year with this thing of unnatural affection, and it just boggles my, I can't even grasp it. I can't even wrap my brain around it. It just makes no sense. It makes no biblical sense, but evil doesn't make sense. Evil is evil. And sin is sin. You know, one writer says this, the very first embryo of every idea, the figment of every thought, the very materials out of which perception, conception, and ideas were formed, were all evil. The fountain which produced them with every thought, purpose, wish, desire, and motive was incurably poisoned. All these were evil without any mixture of good. The Spirit of God which strove with them was continually resisted so that the evil had its sovereign sway. God said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. I'm not going to sit there and say, I'm going to destroy them off the face of the earth. Because they reject me. They want nothing to do with me. Do you understand? You get shocked when somebody brings evil or talks about evil, but could you imagine being God up in heaven and looking down and saying, the world that I created wants nothing to do with me. Wants nothing at all to do with me. The entire world that I formed, what I called into existence, man that I created with my own hands and breathed into his nostrils, the breath of life, wants nothing to do with me. Because every thought of their heart is only evil continually. Think about it. Only evil continually. Every thought in the imagination of their heart. Well, what did that do to God? It grieved him. It grieved him at his heart. You think about that. It said it grieved God at his heart. And God said that he would destroy man. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. Looked down on everybody and nobody wanted anything to do with him. Except Noah. One remnant. Noah and his family. Just one. You think about that, would you? You formed it. You called it into existence. You took care of them. You fed them. You clothed them. You, like your children. And then they want nothing to do with you. Nothing at all. And it grieved him at his heart. Wouldn't it grieve you if you took care of somebody and they wanted nothing to do with you? If you cared for them, if you loved them, and they wanted nothing to do with you? Is that a little matter to you? Think about it. Is it a little matter to you that God looks down? I always think, man always looks at it from his perspective. I want you to think with me here for a second. Man always looks at it from his perspective. And here's what he says. Well, you know, I don't want to go to hell. And you know, God must be mean to have all these laws and everything else. No, God created you. He breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. You walked away from him. He never walked away from man. He went looking for man. When man left him, he called out to Adam and said, Adam, where art thou? Right after he sinned against him and turned his back on him. By the way, God went after Cain the same way. Right after Cain sinned, God asked Cain a series of questions. He said, What have you done? Why did he ask him that? Well, what have you done? He was giving Cain an opportunity to repent. Now, there's some that believe that Cain did repent, by the way, and that he did repent, and that's why God didn't kill him or whatever. But God put a mark on him and didn't kill him for shedding blood. I'm not going to get to that. My point is that Cain, God went looking for him and asked him, just like with Adam, where art thou? Same with Cain, went looking for him. Same with you. God pricks your conscience and says, where art thou? What have you done? What have you done? And God was grieved in his heart, and he cried out to him, and he said, it repenteth the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It broke his heart. That's what it did. You know, you always think about you and I. We always think about us. What about God and his broken heart over sin? We're never broken over our sin. Not enough, anyway. We're all too comfortable with our sin. Justified in our own eyes with it. Here is that repentance that God is now going to turn the other way and destroy them off the face of the earth. But his repentance was accompanied with that sorrow and grief in the heart. Imagine how wicked it must have been that God was grieved at his heart, that he ended his creation and left only a remnant, but destroyed the rest. As the father of creation, his creation was perverted and corrupt. I didn't say he was the father of all. I said he's the father of creation, though. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Notice that the earth is filled with this violence. It says all flesh, excluding Noah, who was clean in his generations. The earth was filled with violence through them. Many people believe this is dealing with those fallen angels and their offspring, and that they had an impact on this as well. But they worked with men and taught them wickedness and the secrets of the universe as far as plants and animals and other things, like we talked about. But violence had filled the earth in the days of Noah. Is it any different than the wickedness that we see today? Perhaps. But we're fastly approaching the time. We're coming. It's all coming there. The earth was also corrupt before God. That is, the inhabitants of the earth were corrupt in their lives and in conversations, and they were corrupt both in principle and practice, and did abominable things. And those corruptions were according uncleanness and idolatry. They were corrupt in the worship of God, worshiping the creature more or besides the Creator, and they were corrupt in their manners and behavior to one another, being guilty of fornication and adultery and other enormous crimes of some against God and others against their neighbors, and these they committed openly and impudently, without any fear of God or dread of his wrath and displeasure, and in contempt of him, his wills and his laws. They did nothing that God did or said had mattered to them. It was all evil continually, and violence had filled the earth, full of violence. Murder, death, killing. Oh, kind of like now. What's the theme of everything? Murder, death, killing. Hey, what's the theme of most TV shows that are the most popular shows? I don't watch TV, but some of the most popular shows on television, the CSI movie or television programs, what's that other one that's big? It has like five different shows. There's Law and Order and all those other ones. And what is it always about? It's always about somebody dying. Listen, don't let your family watch that garbage. Don't watch that stuff. It's just not good for your head to be watching people die and doing all these testings and forensic. And all. It's not good for you to see all that murder and death and killing. Oh, let's get in the mind of this psychopath and see why he did it. I got it. He's a wicked sinner that died and went to hell. That's why he did it. He's a wicked devil. That's why. What do you need to know anything further than that for? It's enough. I don't need to. There's some things that we just don't need to know too much about. I don't want to get into the mind of a psychopath. Try to figure out why they're nuts. And I've met a few of them in my life. And the best thing you can do with them is get them away from you. Because you'll roll around wasting your time. And nothing will ever happen good. They'll just keep dragging you into their garbage with doing injury to the persons and properties of men. They did violence with oppression and cruelty by tyrannical decrees and unrighteous judgments. That's what they were doing at the time, just tyrannical government. Later on, you'll see, we'll talk about Nimrod, who was still kind of in the days of Noah, I mean, a little bit there, definitely the names of Shem. But in those days with Nimrod, some of the things that he did, Nimrod had the first, after the flood, he had the first tyrannical government that ever, Josephus records that Nimrod's government was absolutely tyrannical. Oh, sounds familiar. I mean, isn't it something? Wars and rumors of wars, and so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You think about these things. You think about what's going on today, the violence that has filled our earth. You think about the absolute murder that goes on constantly around the world. And people holding that up and saying, and waving that flag and thinking everything's all great. It's okay for America to go and invade other countries all over the world. That's okay. It's fine that we kill other people. Listen, I hate to break it to you, but that little Afghanistan boy that died yesterday, he's not your enemy. He couldn't do a thing to you to hurt you at all. And like I said to you on Wednesday, if you really believe that those guys playing in the sand over there can rule the world, then you really don't understand the way this world is. If you really think those guys with their remote controls from caves somewhere can control the world, then please get a reality check. Please. Please. But what's going on here? We're sending our armies all over the world. We just sent them into Syria. We're helping in Syria. Helping. We're killing people. But, all over the, if people say, oh, don't speak against the troops. Hey, I'm not speaking against the troops. I'm speaking against the country and what they're doing. But I will tell you one thing. If you expect me to hold and wave a banner high and pledge allegiance, you got nothing coming because I ain't doing it. Because this country does not stand for what it did before. And I don't care if you don't like it. This is my nation right here. This is my book. This is what I follow. I don't follow some American flag and some mantra patriotism that died a long time ago, friend. A long time ago, and it's not coming back because they sold us down the river a long time ago. And it's not coming back. I'm telling you, it's not. We can do whatever we can to preserve what we can while we can, but you better hold to this book and the truths of this book above all else. And I'm telling you something right now. You show me in the Bible where any Christian should have anything to do with going into these foreign countries and a part of these death squad and these murder squads that are, what business do we have in Korea? You tell me that. What business do we have in all these countries with our empire set up all over the world? Really? What business do we have? Could somebody show me one thing in the Constitution that shows that we should be over there? In all these countries, having mass armies everywhere. You say, you're not going to get a soldier to come to your church. Okay, that's okay. Next. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is the truth. Do I want to see them get saved? Absolutely. But am I going to lay down truth for it? No. And I'm not going to push a war machine. Don't you understand that people are dying over there? That our world is filled with violence and America is the leading cause of it? You really think terrorists are? You really think so? How many people have we killed in the Middle East? How many people have we killed in Iraq and Afghanistan and invaded these countries? How many? Think about it. And you don't think that this is that we're living in the end times, that we're approaching the days of Noah, when you have armies after armies that are going all over the world? I've said it before, I'll say it again. You'll take my son into the military when I'm dead. But you'll not get him any other way, because I'm not going to watch my children go die for some New World Order bankers. I'm not going to watch them use my son as a pawn when their little elitist sons go smoke pot in Canada while my kid's dying. It's not happening. And I would discourage any Christian from going into the military. Absolutely, 100%. Why? Because it's the violence that has filled the earth, and we are killing people all over the world. You tell me why my son should go die in Iraq. You tell me why he should go die in Afghanistan. You come here, you got it. Let's fight. You expect me to go over there and invade somebody else's country? And watch my kid die over there? Not doing it. Not going to be a part of any of that. But those wars, rumors of wars, all of those things that were going on, the violence had filled the earth. Folks, do you understand that they're sending these drones and they're just bombing people and killing them? They're just flying over places and they're dropping bombs and they're killing people. Dead. They don't know who's in there. But you know who's in there? You see that little baby girl of mine walking around? That's who's in there. So you go ahead and wave your little flag. I'm not waving it. Sorry. I'm just not. If that makes you mad, I guess you'll have to be mad. But I can't do it. I can't be that patriotic when I'm watching what we're doing. And some people have gone over, some people are more patriotic than they are biblical. When's the last time you heard preachers preach against war? Preach against these endless wars. Oh no, that's not for the pulpit. Oh really? I seem to remember some prophets, like I told you on Wednesday, that went through there when their leaders were murdering and killing people and sending wars and they preached against it. Told them not to do that. Warned them what they were doing was wrong. They were tyrannical anyway. They were wicked. They would oppress others in this time. Violence means a few different things. It means ravishment and rape. It means to outrage, to force, to injure, to assault, to injure, to bring upon violence. To assault and to injure. So raping and looting and murdering was going on in the streets in the days of Noah. That's what was taking place. What are we approaching now? Have you seen these poor ladies in India? All they're doing is walking down the road or getting on a bus and four guys rape and throw them out the side of the car. One lady was called by a lawyer. She was getting a divorce from her husband. And the lawyer had her husband and three other guys in there. And that's in the courthouse. And the first thing I said was, boy, I wish you'd give those ladies some guns. I guarantee you nobody would do that to them. And that's the reason that it's happening now is because they don't have those. It was an extremely wicked time. I believe Romans chapter 1 points back to this time when they worshipped idols and false gods and four-footed beasts. They would assault one another and murder and kill each other. There's a reason when God started over with Noah that he instituted capital punishment as well. Because what they were doing would now, they would be accountable for man now. They would be accountable now for that. God set up a civil government that had that authority then and says, so shall your blood be shed. If you shed innocent blood, you're going to die for it. Now, don't you think it quite odd that we shed innocent blood every day in America? Not just the people that we've killed overseas, but the babies that are slaughtered every day. Do you understand? Millions and millions and millions of babies a year. We are shedding the innocent blood. Do you know what? When God brings judgment down is when that blood cries out from the earth. And God said, I've had enough. Enough is enough. Shedding that innocent blood. You think about it. Because that's what's going on now. That's the violence. You don't think that's violent? No, in society in America, that's not violent. That's just part of everyday thing. Why aren't we more appalled by that? We've heard it so much, we're just not appalled by it anymore when somebody does that. I believe that's why God instituted that capital punishment, though, with Noah right after. Says, this isn't going to happen anymore. You're not going to run around and just kill people and get away with it. So there's going to be a punishment for that. We are heading for those same times, those same violent times. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. See that? There it is again, without natural affection. You see that? In the days of Noah? And just like now, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers. We see that, don't we? Falsely accusing people and putting them to death, or falsely accusing them of a crime that they didn't commit. Trapping them like the government does now to people. They just trap them into things. Catch up their words and trap them into things. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. What do you think now? Somebody preaches the word of God, tells the truth, and they're despised for it. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasures. Wasn't that awful interesting? Do you know there are more people that give their money and their time to entertainment, amusements, and everything else than they will to God? Why? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's more important. Pleasing my flesh is more important than serving God. What is this world captivated with now? Entertainment and amusement. Captivated. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Just like in the days of Noah, same as now. For of this sort are they which creep into houses led captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What are we at now? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Know it all, but never come to the knowledge of the truth. It's a know it all. We're approaching the days of Noah. The level of demonic deception is rising in this country. And Satan leaves things in plain sight. I mean, there are Masonic signs and symbols and everything that are in plain sight. Your money. Right on your money. Right on it. This is just curiosity. You think that's a biblical sign? You think it's an accident that this dollar bill has a pyramid on it? What's the chances of that? And what's the chances of that eye being on that? Well, now there's something. What is that eye right there?
Eye of
course. Yeah, huh. Well, I wonder what that's doing on there. By the way, this is not a dollar. This is a Federal Reserve note. Just so you understand, just remember that. It's not a dollar, it's a Federal Reserve note. I don't want to get into that. But anyway, that right there, now, what do you think that's on there for? I mean, my opinion is to blaspheme God. That's why it's there. Because, you know, on the front it says, "In God we trust" somewhere. Doesn't it say that on there? Yeah, on the back. "In God we trust." Which one? This one? Or that one? Which one? First Timothy 4:1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Uh-oh. You know, the word demon is not in the Bible. You know that, right? But doctrines of devils, you know, devils is, devil is in the Bible. Doctrines of devils. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because when you start thinking about doctrines of devils, "In these times the Spirit of God speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Cauterized, can't feel a thing. "Forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." This is happening now as we speak. I'm sorry, I'm laughing about something else, but on that, along those lines, but I won't share it with you. Matthew chapter 24, but as in the days of Noah, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 37. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. It's very interesting. I have to study this out a little further, but I find it interesting that it says marrying and giving in marriage. And I wonder if that just marrying gives the idea of these, that they were forced somehow, or they did what they wanted to, as in the sons of God, the daughters of men in that case. But anyway, that's something else. That was in the days of Noah. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. Oh, there's nothing happening. You got Christians that are completely blind to the spirit world today. They don't believe that anything goes, they think that everything is just of someone's flesh, driven of their flesh, and it doesn't have anything really to do with the devil. That there's not really any demonic activity involved with that. Really? So what, did they all just go to sleep or something? Did they all just take a vacation and they left? Are they in Tahiti or something? I mean, did they leave? Because that's what we kind of think, that they just kind of took off and there's no demonic activity anymore. Folks, do you really think that the spiritual wickedness in high places, like I talked about on Wednesday, is not going on now? Well, what do you think is pushing this Antichrist movement in humanism? You'll be as gods, whispers the serpent. So who pushes the humanistic movement? It's the devil. And we're returning to those days now. We're coming back to those days. And I believe part of the reason why we don't have those days now in existence as fast as they did is because they lived 900 years. A man can learn a lot of evil in 900 years. A man can do a lot of evil in 900 years. Yeah. We do a lot of evil in 70. You just think about how Nimrod and others, how when they, even Shem was of the ancients when he got off the boat and everything like that. But I mean, he lived 350 years after the flood, or that was Noah that lived 350 years after the flood. Yeah. He lived, when he got on the flood, got on the boat, he was 600 and he lived to be 950. So yeah, he lived 350 years. Shem lived 600 years, I think it was, after the flood. But, Shem lived a long time. But you think about the time that they had. You know, and the age that they lived, these, I believe they kept growing and got bigger as well and things like that. But I mean, the point is that the level of wickedness in the earth was so great that God destroyed it. In no other time does it specifically state that it grieved him at his heart the way that it did. And it was that bad. Well, because basically his creation had turned against him. Do you understand that? The devil, remember, the devil was in heaven. The devil wanted to take the throne of God. He wanted to ascend up to the Most High. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to set up his throne. Remember it says in the sides of the north or whatever that he would set up his throne? And that means he would exalt himself above the congregation, that he would be Jesus. Basically, he wanted to be Jesus. That's what he wanted to be. Because Jesus wasn't created. He's God. So he wanted to be Jesus. He wanted to be like the Most High. That's exactly what he wanted. So then when he didn't get that, he came to earth and he says, well, now I'll get the creation to worship me. And what has happened through time? The creation has worshiped him. And he turned God's own creation against him. So God said, I will destroy it off the face of the earth then. He perverted the animals. He perverted the marriage union. He perverted the family. He perverted every institution that God had set up. So God said, I'm going to destroy them all, but I have one remnant that is not turned away from me. And he is perfect in his generations. And I'll preserve seed of him in the earth. And I'll take the animals that have not corrupted themselves, and I will bring those animals that have not corrupted, or that were not corrupted, not that they corrupted themselves, but were not corrupted, and I will bring them, and I'll start over. And that's what he did, and that's what the days of Noah were like. For as in the days of Noah that were before the flood, he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I hope this gives you just a little bit of insight to what those days were like. There's much more that can be said. And as we continue with the giants, we'll touch at that time of the days of Noah. And then after, and also after that, we'll cover that too as well in the weeks to come here. So anyway, I hope that makes some sense to you. But the violence had filled the earth. Everything was perverted. And God destroyed it. Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for your mercy on us. And Lord, we pray that we can get the gospel to more people. And as we go street preaching, Lord, as we get ready, please prepare our steps and help us. We want to do right by you, Lord. Help us to live holy lives as you preserved us to be a light to the world. Help us to be that light in a dark, dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.